Welcome to another podcast episode. What are you looking for?
Volume.
Volume?
For my headphones?
I'll give you volume. You don't need headphones.
Okay.
I'll take them off.
That one might be broken.
Great.
Welcome to tonight's episode. It is Tuesday, October 16th, around 6 o'clock or so. It's Eric, and I'd like to welcome in some coworkers who I mentally, in my own little world, you're talking about this person that I won't mention, like how you their stories. I just consider you two married.
Oh, Lord. One of us would be dead and the other would be in prison.
That is true. We won't say which one, though.
So let me introduce from WRQN, Becky Shock.
Hi.
From K100 and many other radio stations.
Yeah, I heard that rumor that you said I worked at every station here in Toledo. No, like
close.
Three.
Three, that's a lot.
This one that we're on right now. Oh, he hasn't
introduced
me.
He's trying to
Sorry.
Introduce you.
Spooky Mookie.
Yeah.
Spooky Mookie, thank you. Woo! I work here. When I first started, well, WOHO, which was, and then 3WM.
Okay.
And then worked in Findlay for a little bit, then KISS, and then here. So that's not that many. Oh, I was in Florida. I forgot about that one. Miami, Florida for 4 years.
How did you guys form this work relationship?
I was here in the morning for a while.
Okay.
And then I went on vacation. And then while I was on vacation, they said, when you come back, you're not going to be on in the morning anymore. We're going to switch people around. You're going to be here in the afternoons.
Okay. Did you jump for joy or were you?
I jumped for joy that I still had a job because, you know.
You didn't have to get up at 2:30, 3 o'clock,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was all right with me. And then as I remember it, you stuck your head in the door one day and said, hey, I'm Mookie. I just wanted to say hi. And Amy Davis told me that you're nice.
No, actually, the story was that I knew that you did mornings with Bob Kelly, and they said you're the nicest person in the building.
Oh, I like that.
And I said, well, that's impossible because I'm the nicest person in the building.
Yeah. What do you think makes you nicer than Becky?
Yeah, I'd like to hear this too.
Wow. Well, after knowing her for, 9 years now?
It's a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if I am anymore, but I think we're pretty close in niceness, would you say that?
No, I would not say that.
I'm a little more bitter than... No, I'm not more bitter
no.
than you. Now that I think
Nobody's
of it, no, you're
more
way...
Than
you
me.
Hide it well.
See, you guys are like a total married couple.
It's a facade.
You know what it is? I'm a great faker. That's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, because she is very bitter,
oh,
and I
man.
Am too, but we don't let it out very often.
Mm-mm.
No, and I introduced myself, and we became friends, and we're just hallway friends, and I call her my work wife, and she hates that.
I don't like that term.
What's wrong with that?
I think if I were married to somebody and that person had a work wife, I would say, go ahead and take him. Which is probably what Julie is saying right now.
Yeah, my wife. She loves Becky, so she's okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Becky, are you married?
I am not, no.
Okay. So what did it take what he's offering?
There you go.
I'm not saying you're desperate or anything.
You signed
well, if
you
you're
are.
Desperate, I'm your guy.
You guys should do a show together. You have such great chemistry.
We do.
Do you think this, though, you do a show with somebody and eventually you hate them because
yeah.
it's just too much togetherness?
You've done that, Eric. You've
and,
done morning
yeah,
shows.
How many people do you hate in the radio business? Because there's a lot in this hallway that you could potentially hate.
Mm-hmm.
No, we know.
You can't say that. Your bitterness is coming out.
It depends. Like, if you like somebody, you like them. You're always going to have your little quarrels. But at the core of things, you'll like them. I've worked with people that made me want to pull my ears off.
What and does their who, name
who,
rhyme
yeah,
with?
Yeah, who at the yeah. station now is on that list?
Nobody here. Nobody here. I don't hate anybody here.
Really?
I don't have a reason to hate anybody here.
Okay, good.
How
good.
Long does this podcast go on?
Why have somebody else coming in? We're all backed up at 7, so it won't be that long. Why? Are you?
I was going to say, we'll tell list, you who.
The yeah. list of people that dislike in Toledo radio history?
Well, not Toledo
well,
radio.
Okay.
Maybe this building.
Yeah.
Toledo radio history, you're going to have need us more than 30 to 45 minutes.
I did want you guys to give me some old school Toledo radio stories. Mookie, I know you have some, right?
I don't know if a lot of them are suitable for air.
Well, this isn't going over the air. We're not regulated by the FCC.
Watch
this. Ready?
Suitable.
Fuck.
You can't
wow.
say that. Do you go back and beep that out?
No.
You don't like that? Oh, you like that word. It's my wife that doesn't like the F word.
Well,
Becky, my work wife,
easily
loves
confused.
The F word.
Watch
yeah.
this.
No.
Bleep.
He did it. He bleeped it. All right. I
there it's all bleeped
I can't really... Let me think. I remember one of the funny stories when... I was on Kiss, and our night guy was Brian Donovan, which was Kramer.
That's when I was at Tower, and Lucas was bleeping with him all the time.
They were fighting all the time, and I remember there was such an animosity towards Tower with Kramer, and I think Kiss and Tower at that time, that we were required to voice track weekend shifts, which is, you know, becoming the norm, or it has been the norm for a long time on radio stations. And I was there while Brian was voice tracking his show for Saturday, and we were going through a 12-pack of beer at the time.
At the station?
At the station.
Fun. No, that was over the other, but where I was. Okay.
Yes. And as each beer was being consumed, the breaks got a little worse and a little more nasty and angry and a lot towards Tower.
Okay.
And maybe Lucas. I don't recall that night very well, but I do recall going to, we had club nights on Friday.
Emporium, right?
Emporium, exactly. And I remember waking up the next day hungover. And I'm thinking, what did we do last night? So I ran to get my clothes on, because he was on the air.
You were naked somewhere?
Right in my bed. Well, not naked, but that's another story.
Yeah.
I was frantic to get my clothes on and get downtown before the show started, because I don't know what was on the air. I don't know if there were curse words. I don't know if we just took nasty shots, but I had to go through the whole show and pull out whatever nasty, and there was a lot.
So you listened to them?
I listened to the breaks.
How bad? What was the worst one?
The worst one? Oh, it was just personal shots and just really nasty things said about
Lucas?
About the station, the station tower at the time, Lucas, the talent there, and it was mean. But we were drunk.
So, Becky, give me some good radio stories.
I'll tell you the microphone story in a second too. Okay. It's all about drinking with me, but I don't drink anymore.
No,
so.
Because that's what I was going to say. It's like a totally different time in radio now, right? Mm-hmm, and I think you two agree with me, because we used to do a lot of bar nights. We used to do, this was at the rock station, and you were out somewhere drinking 4 or 5 nights out of the week probably. And yeah, a lot of the stories are like that. Where
That's what, okay.
Does it involve you being naked?
Don't pause.
It's bad when you have to stop and think. How many times I naked at work?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I really don't remember. No, I don't have any individual. I really don't.
Come on, there's got to be one story that like is like a good party story that you tell. People are like, oh, you're in radio. Give me a story.
Okay. It was Halloween, and they got a limo for us to go out and hit individual parties,
okay,
so that none of us were drinking, because the assumption was that we
you were going to drink heavily,
right? So I went out and bought one of those rabbit outfits where it's made out of like fur and it's got the big rabbit head, and that's what I was going to wear out to these things. But it happened to be the same time I was coming down with the flu, and it had nothing to do with drinking at all. So we're in the back of the limo, and I have the big giant rabbit thing on as they stop so that I can throw up, and then we go to the next party until eventually they said, take her back to her car. And I don't know what even happened to the rabbit outfit now.
And you were naked.
And I was naked underneath the rabbit outfit. I was
there
naked.
There we go.
All right.
You don't know what happened to the outfit. Do you remember the night when you woke up the next day?
I wasn't drunk. I wasn't drinking. I just was sick.
Oh, come on.
No,
I
seriously.
Don't buy that for
I mean,
a
it's
second.
One of the few times, but yeah.
That's right. Are you drunk now?
No, I wish. I was going to bring cocktails in here tonight.
He
told me I couldn't. I'm
why
not allowed.
Because
I don't know what the reasoning
was.
Drink,
and I don't like wine. If it would have been cocktails, I would have... You said
wine.
I was going to bring
us a little meat and cheese tray and some cocktails.
Well,
and
well, you definitely dropped the ball, because you never said that to me yesterday. Never. Never. But one time, we were at a nightclub in Port Clinton, Nick's.
Right.
And Nick had the, nerve to just feed us shots all night,
and we were a terrible human being.
Well, I know
awful.
It was awful, but we'd do games while we were there with the patrons and all this stuff, and shot after shot, and we had a limo, so it was all good. But I remember waking up the next day, and I was really uncomfortable, you know, hungover again. That's pretty much my early 30s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is jabbing me in my back down by my waistline? What is happening here? So I turn over, and I still had the microphone from the club. So I had to do the walk of shame.
In an awkward position.
Right.
I had to drive back
to the club the next day and turn it in and say, hey, I took this home accidentally. I slept with it. Yeah. I was in my clothes.
It could have been something worse that was jabbing you in the lower area.
It could have been. It could have. You woke up and just go, whoa, hey.
Yeah, I guess we could all dig into like the old club gig days.
Yeah. You got one? Go.
God, none from here. Here was pretty like, oh, I remember this one. This was before I got here. I guess at Rain, which is now a law office downtown somewhere on Michigan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That place and the old Tower 98 banners showed up in some pornos that were shot there.
Wow.
There were some girls going wild. Remember that was
Yeah, I remember that.
Some videos showed up, and no lie, I was flipping through some adult things sometime, and I was like, That's the bleeping light guy from Rain. I never looked at Oh, God, that was awkward.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, that's a bad story, I guess, but there was one time. So I guess we're looking at late 2005, Rain again. And it was one of those nights where we were getting a blizzard, 8 to 12 inches of snow, something like that. And to this day, I don't like snow or cold or anything like that. And guys, I think the guy's name was Amir. Is that
ring a bell? That was the guy, yep.
We're opening. What do you mean we're opening? Like, there's a 2 feet of snow coming. We're opening. Did the live club broadcast. My DJ friend came down from Detroit because he wanted to get paid. And we were there with like four people. And I remember getting home. At the time, I lived in Monroe. So got back to the station, which was in Monroe. Had my SUV, thankfully. And it's like Monroe at that time, in the peak of this storm, looked like a zombie apocalypse. Like, I was all over the road, and I didn't care that I was on one side of the road, then the next. I just wanted to get home safely. And I just kept saying all afternoon when I was doing the afternoon show that I'm like, I'm not going. I think somebody had offered to drive me down there. What a mess. That's my best club story. How scared I was.
Did you get paid?
Yeah, I got paid, but it wasn't worth it. Yeah,
well,
a percentage of the door. It was like 50 cents.
Yeah, whoever shows up. It's all on you, Eric.
What are some of the places that you guys like that you liked around here that are closed? There was a Chinese restaurant that was around the corner from the Bijou that was really good.
I can't
think of what it was.
I'm not saying I liked it, but we had a lot of things out at Henry J's. Remember that?
You liked Henry J's?
No, I did not. He said places that you liked.
Never been.
We used to have things. They're in Buttons, and I think they might have been owned by the same people, so we would rotate between going to Buttons and.
Right.
Yeah. Becky, are you from here originally?
North Baltimore.
Okay. So up in Michigan, right?
No, down closer to Findlay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from here. I grew up here.
Oh, I'm thinking there's a new Baltimore in the Michigan area.
Yeah.
Maybe you should move there. That'd be cool. Where are you from?
Thanks.
North Baltimore.
Maybe you should move out of state.
Maybe you should go.
So I remember being there like every couple of times a week. It seemed like we would be at one of those nightclubs.
You had mentioned something about taking over the world.
Yeah, because you were nice enough to invite us to come and be on your podcast. And I said, first of all, does it have to do with puppies or world domination? Because I'm into both of those things.
He never invited me.
No?
You invited me via...
Hanger-on.
Eric.
Yeah.
But I could tell that, like, you guys are connected at the hip, at least here at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I figured that she could make that invite.
Yeah, she did a nice job.
Easier than I could.
But she never did promise the cheese and meat tray that she
said. I think I said, if I'm
said
doing
cocktails,
it, you're doing it too.
I think that was the invitation. I was just saying that. I was never invited.
Yeah.
I'm a little hurt.
You were invited. I mean,
a little hurt.
I said, please, I wanted you two together because I knew that this chemistry would be off the charts.
Well, we can still hope.
Can we see those charts?
I'll have my data guy get back to you. My analytics department is, they come in at 7.
So what do you normally do with this? Who do you usually talk to?
Well, last night I had Annalise Alvarez. She is the new executive director of Equality Toledo, and she is also on the board of the Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition, which I do a lot of work with.
Yeah.
Can I say, with all the things you do with mental illness, things like that, you're my hero.
Thank you.
You know, I know we don't know each other real well, but we both do this. And I know that you're an advocate for people speaking up and speaking out. And I know through a lot of the things you've done on radio and through your socials that you're not afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, that's all I have to talk about.
And I really, being someone, my family and people in my life suffer from mental illness. I really, really respect that, and you're kind of my hero in this this city because of the things you do and you put it out there. It's a little harder for me. I'm a little, you know, even though I say speak up and speak mm-hmm. out and talk, I'm a little more private about it.
Sure,
but I really love what you do, and we need more people like you to do so. So
I don't know why I'm not afraid. I don't know if it's because of like what I do, so I have to be transparent and forthcoming, or I don't know if I'm decently good at doing the radio thing because I'm just naturally forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly a pretty private person, but it's hard to be doing
with that and the times we're in right now. I think it's great that you stepped forward and felt comfortable enough to do it, because I think it's so lost, and it has been for so many years, what mental illness is and how it affects different people. And it is it's a scary, scary disease, and we know a lot about it, but we're so embarrassed to talk about it. And now it seems like things are changing a little more, where it's getting out there and people are starting to understand it more. And there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
But it is a nasty, nasty disease. It can cripple you. It can kill you. And what you do, I just love that you put it out there and you're not afraid to do so. And you know, a big round of applause for you, Eric. I've told Becky that. I said, you know, the things that you do for mental illness.
What did you, let me ask you this. What did you think when I kept bugging Bill and Andy to hire me once my non-compete was up? Were you like, who's this asshole?
Yeah,
he already knew who you were.
That I was so. A huge
I knew,
asshole?
I knew you yeah. were. No, I never heard that.
Okay.
But I have friends at iHeart. Good friends, and they gave you the thumbs up. So yeah. I was, you know, I check, you know, I can say their names. Eric Goldberg and Tom Riggs are two of my best friends, and they said, "Oh, Chase is in our building now," and they said, "You're a good person." So that's all I need to hear. I mean,
we should mention this too, because you're talking about everything that Eric does in a public way, and when the city does the 20 under 40, is that what it's called? And Eric is one of the people nominated.
It's over.
Well, you got nominated.
I did.
We're way too old. We didn't even get nominated.
Did you win? Or
no.
Was it something that you win?
They take the bigger pool and narrow it down to 20.
There was 255 people nominated.
Wow.
I kind of protested when I saw how many people were nominated.
Yeah.
And then when you get the nomination, they encourage you to ask all the people who nominated you to buy a ticket. And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. It's kind of like a sales thing.
A little bit. And I guess I think Leadership Toledo puts it on.
I think.
So the money goes back into a good place. But that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't want to ask people who nominated me to, hey, go buy a ticket now.
Yeah.
Now, do you know who nominated you, or did you nominate yourself?
I didn't nominate myself. I asked a lot of people if, you know, and I'm not a self-promoter type. I think if there's one good thing about me in radio, I don't have a big ego. That's why I like you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, we can see somebody's ego in this business.
Oh,
get to know Becky a little more.
Oh, really? Really?
Don't you think so?
I mean, you do have a lot of room in that studio.
No, I mean, in this building, there's a lot of big fat egos.
You can't say that on a podcast. Did you? It's not going to be edited.
I'll bleep that out.
Eric's not telling me that I can't.
Yeah, I don't care. You can say whatever you want.
I think in every building, in every experience, I've been doing this 32 years, every place I've worked, there have been egos.
And
so
it's not even fair to just say radio. Probably in any business that you do.
Every business. Yeah,
there's people whose heads don't fit through the door.
True. Can you write down one of the people on the piece of paper?
Putting it on Facebook later.
Did a podcast. Talk secretly. And
now, I got a question for you. I didn't mean to interrupt. I keep interrupting.
You're interviewing me on my podcast?
Yeah.
What the bleep?
Well, because we want to know about you.
Yeah.
Ask away.
Do they, like the Toledo City Paper does Best of Toledo? Mm-hmm. Have they added podcasts to it yet?
They have.
Oh, have they?
Were you nominated for that?
I asked people to nominate. But again, that's also like a popularity contest.
Yeah.
And I don't play that game.
But you should. This episode right here be nominated. Did they do individual episodes
have
like they do at the Emmys?
Let's be honest. Have you ever seen the winners of some of those categories and gone, who voted for that other than that person's family?
Or I bet if you looked at who did the most advertising in the city paper, that those people often win a lot. And look, that's how life goes. Look at elections. Whoever spends the most money usually wins. That's just not me. I don't run the popularity contest. Whenever I ask people to do something, whether it was to nominate me to speak at the TEDx Toledo last year for 20 under 40 or for the podcast stuff, I'm like, look, if I have made an impact, impact in your life, like what you talked about, Mookie, if I've affected you in some way or you think I've done good here in our community, please nominate me. But I'm not going to sit here and beg you to do it or you know, buy posts to do it excessively. If you want to do it, if I've made an impact, I'm already top of mind, do it.
I'm so naive.
How so?
I just think everything's legit a lot of the times.
Oh, nothing's legit. Not even this podcast.
He's not even recording this.
He's going to dub us both out.
This is it. He's going to put other people in. He's got actors coming
in. It's going to be me asking me questions. Mookie, your voice sounds just like Eric's. Becky, you too. I want to play a game with you guys because you guys have the chemistry. You have the wavelength, and I haven't played it for a minute.
I'm afraid.
No. There's nothing dirty about this. Do you? I steal a lot. I steal a lot of stuff from like the late night shows. Yeah. Do you guys watch Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Love
you ever
Jimmy
see him
Fallon.
Play? Set, you go, well, then maybe you can help me with the game since it's been a minute since I played. Jinx. Do you know how that works?
I don't.
So
no.
I will name something.
Okay.
And then I'll count to three. And then when I complete three, you two will have to sync up the thought. Like, okay, so if I go, Big Red Store on Monroe Street, I'll count to three. And then at the end of three, you guys each scream out, Target!
Me and Eric are on the same page.
Well, yeah, because I was
drop
going,
the ball
you
there,
know what,
Scott.
I was thinking, it's not Best Buy, it's not Best Buy.
It's not Circuit City.
Yeah. Store I love to shop at. Sears. Oh, shit, it's closing.
That's right. Elder Bierman. Go.
All right, so are we supposed to predict
I think we're supposed to, yes. Like, we're okay. So in sync with each other, right. We're supposed to know.
It's kind of like the newlywed, like, so you have to think, yeah, it's kind of like prediction.
He thinks we're so in sync.
Do we need that bell?
No bells.
Okay.
No bells.
Sound effects.
All right. Other cumulus stations in this building. One, two, three.
K100.
Well, you can't do because you can't do that because I'm going to say yours and you're going to say mine.
Well, so we would have won that point because we would have
done it. No, because I was going to say RQN, but that wouldn't have matched. That was a bad question, Eric. Okay, so let's go with number two.
maybe I should ask again for the instructions to be clarified.
Were we supposed to pick one other than ours? Our stations?
You essentially, it's like Newlywed. Like, you have to predict what the other one's going to say.
You know how they hold the car.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Oh, this is so good.
In the back seat of a Chevy van.
You
that's
know, that
the kind
was,
of stuff they do on the
and
Newlywed
it still
game.
Is, I think it's still on Game Show Network sometimes with the new host, the, wasn't she on The View, the woman who hosts it now?
Meredith Vieira?
No. Is it Cheryl somebody?
Yeah, Sherry
Simpson.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway, we will try.
Sorry.
We'll try again.
I just told him it was a bad question. I'm sorry.
So you're trying to guess what she will say and vice versa.
Oh, that's what. So I was. I should have said
K100. Good Lord.
Because I thought you would say that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right. There. I'll give you half a point.
Okay.
Right.
Just to shut you up.
I want to ring the bell
right.
So bad.
Board games. One, two, three.
Monopoly.
There we go.
Nice. I had to do it. It's just sitting there.
All right. An animal. One, two, three.
Cat.
Tiger.
Same. Feline family. Mm.
It is
tiger.
It is Global Cat Day.
Is it? I thought it was National Boss Day.
It's
is
that
it?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next up.
We're two for two then?
He's being very generous.
That's the first time I'm not really keeping track.
I was thinking cat.
First and last.
A place to get chicken chunks. One, two, three.
Frickers.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Am I supposed to be saying Jinx instead of three?
Maybe.
It's your game.
Jinx, buy me a Coke.
Next up. Ice cream flavor. One, two, three.
Vanilla.
What?
Oh, come on.
That's like once a year.
The flavor of anything for me, the answer will always be pumpkin.
This time of year? Are you that girl?
Yeah. I'm that girl.
Mid-August girl.
Yeah, I know.
Like, oh,
come on. I've already heard about, are you wearing Uggs? And yeah, I know. I'm that girl.
Like, haven't you outgrown your basic?
No!
I've
no!
called her basic so many times,
I hear
times,
that all
Eric.
The time.
All the time. I call her basic. I said, you are so basic. Yeah. And she's an over-reviewer as
You know
well.
What? Wear it. I went to the Apple Butter Festival, and you know what they had? pumpkin fudge. And I bought it and I ate it.
Okay, what she does is she'll go to places like a pizza place, a new place, or a place that she's never been to. And then the next day she'll come in and say, that is the best pizza I've ever had. And I say to her, you've said that about six different places. You can't keep doing that.
Because they're categories.
I said, you overrate. What did I call you?
An overrater.
You're an over. It can't be the best everywhere you go. Because it's new and the latest doesn't make it the best. And you do that.
These are not new places. So, did you ever go to Miles and BG before it closed?
I didn't. And I've heard that it's
not the best.
Overrated.
Oh, yes. It was the best. So I said Miles Pizza was the best pizza in Northwest Ohio. Now, if we're going to narrow it down to Toledo,
but
then
that's
it becomes
Northwest
the Village
Ohio,
Idiot.
Becky, that's Northwest Ohio.
That's actually Maumee, too.
See? Okay, so that's Maumee.
But you can't do city by
and
city pizza.
And then you know what else is good? Best
pepperoni.
Food truck pizza is Pepperoni Tony. So I have categories for who has the best pizza.
Next time I have you on, and we've already locked up the sequel. We'll do the rated game, which is overrated, underrated, properly rated.
We should do this show, this podcast, sometime out when the food trucks are out.
We should go on a Friday at a festival and do it.
Yeah.
Just to go out.
Because
then
somewhere.
I'll get that food and drink I was promised.
Okay. Were we done with the game?
No, I have more.
I got sidetracked.
All right. Next up, Toledo TV news people. 1, 2, 3.
Jerry and Chris Anderson.
Yeah.
Did you name two?
I said Jerry and Chris. Chris Peterson, the team, the combo.
Both retired.
Yeah, but Jerry.
Well.
But we got that right.
Yeah.
So we evened up that half we had with another half.
So
I think we have three.
Okay.
All right. Next up. Toledo suburbs, 1, 2, 3.
Perrysburg.
Oh.
We're close.
We were a bridge away.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Meet in the middle at the Village Idiot.
Have you heard that Maumee is like, there's Perrysburg and then the Maumee are the Perrysburg rejects. Have you ever heard that?
No. Way to insult everybody listening right now, though.
No, I don't believe that. I've heard that before, and I think that's not very nice.
No.
It's not nice.
Maumee or Perrysburg rejects?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. I love Maumee.
I love Maumee too.
Downtown Maumee is one of the coolest places.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a block long. Less than a block.
Right. Right, but Perrysburg I like too, but I think they're both equally good.
All right, wait.
My favorite city, right, Becky? My favorite city.
Which is?
I don't know.
Maumee, Perrysburg. I think they're equally as good.
We can ditch that game because since you guys brought it up, I want to ask Becky. So what other we went through pizza places?
Mm-hmm.
What other places are you into? You have like favorite.
She is good. She goes to some really good places.
Yeah,
but she over reviews them.
Like everything's great.
You really don't know if it's good.
Like, are you the worst reviewer ever? Like everything's great.
Yeah.
Am I?
Movies.
No.
TV shows.
Well, tell me three things in the last year you've gone to that were not up to snuff.
I can't even think of three things in the last year that I've gone to.
You said that pizza whatever.
Pepperoni Tony.
The pizza 4151.
51. It's the fake Miles. It's whatever took over for Miles.
You said that was good.
I said it was good.
And I thought the same people were kind of running it.
Is it only in Perrysburg?
No, that's in BG.
And
same place.
In Perrysburg.
Yeah.
There's one in Perrysburg.
The owner actually moved to the Carolinas somewhere, so I don't know if these were people that were working for him before, but it's not that owner and that recipe.
How do you feel about Pizza Cat?
I've never.
Really?
Did I hear you talk about that recently?
Yeah, they're doing Kung Pao now, and I like spicy stuff.
I bet that's good.
How about...
Are they doing that
on Becky,
pizza?
Go try it and tell me what you think of it.
It's great.
I'm sorry.
I missed this. I just came up with a great new idea. What can we find that Becky wouldn't say is great? Like, hey, here's some octopus tongue.
You know, there's a lot of things she doesn't like.
Yeah,
really, there's a lot of things she doesn't like.
Like what?
I mean, I'm talking not only food, but places, people.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to what we said about being bitter.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
a lot more bitter
true,
than
man.
You think.
But it seems like it's buried. Everything so far
is
like this, great,
I'm just
that.
Like this bubbling pot of rage.
What's the last like rant you went on your show?
I don't really.
She rants off
no.
the air like the shovel.
It's
what's
happy,
to do with your
it's
shovel?
It's happy Sunshineville over there. I don't rant
but
on
look,
the air.
We can polish things.
No, I really don't on the air.
She always wants the shovel. You always want to.
Yeah, because my threat is that I'm going to hit people with a shovel. So then every fall, we do a big food fundraiser for the Toledo Seagate Food Bank, and we do it with Walt Churchill's Market, usually. And so one of Mindy from the Toledo Seagate Food Bank came with a shovel that she had decorated with flowers and said, "You're always talking about how you want to hit somebody with a shovel." So there you go.
So now
I have a head smacking shovel.
Have you ever?
Don't make me use it on you, Eric.
What would make you swing it at my head?
Yeah. Good to know. Go ahead.
I don't know. What would make me do that? If you were just a schmuck, if
you were arrogant,
and you're conniving up and down, and then that I would probably say, "I'm sorry, you need to smack upside the head
with a shovel,
and we'll see if that strains you out."
I don't know,
or kills you.
I mean, I can be conniving and manipulative, but I have no reason to do that with you guys.
Yeah, we all can be. It's you pick and choose, though. Yeah, right. I have no reason with you two to do that. Does it? My elbow's making a really weird noise. Mm-hmm. Sounds like... Well, now I can't do it now. Now when I need to do it, I can't do it. So,
Becky, what do you do on your show? Like, what's your favorite part of your show?
I like to talk about things going on. I like when there's something local and we can direct some attention to something cool, something local. I had the chance for, like, 3 years to do something that was sent other places, a show that was sent to other cities. And it had to be so generic and so... A couple of the stations were in the Florida Keys, and this was last year when they had that hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
How were you on the air and not talking about an area that was just decimated by a hurricane, and you couldn't bring it up?
Yeah.
Because that show was also in Oklahoma and Texas and Maine, and they don't care about... So if you're going to be local, then be local and find things here to shine that light on and to bring some attention to, because there are cool things that are going on all over the place.
Boogie, when we were getting going in like the early and mid 2000s and voice tracking became a thing, when I was coming up, I was never like people that I was coming up with who wanted to voice track in all these other markets. I was like, why would I want to talk to these people? I have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
We can't connect with these people. I like talking to people that are actually listening.
I never did it. I've never been out of market ever.
It's like learning a different way to do your job. It's like you can't, like the way that we all learned it, I think you can't do that. You have to think in these really...
And live radio is so much fun.
Yeah.
It is. I think the young people getting into the business with all the technology and the voice tracking and this, that, and the other thing, I think it's lost on them. And it's one of my favorite things. As soon as you crack the mic and open the mic, that's one of my favorite things.
And it's one of the things that I would complain about on a regular basis. I would say, it's so generic. Mm-hmm. How is there something huge that just happened in this country and you can't talk about it? How can you? Well, it's not, they didn't like the word generic. It's homogenized. It's homogenized for every market that show is in, and it's tough, and it takes some of the fun away, and it takes away that personal connection you have to the people that you meet and the nonprofit organizations that you get to work with and all of that. It takes all of that away.
I'm sorry, Becky is the best I've ever heard. I've told her this, but she doesn't take a compliment like she should. She is the best I've ever heard at being local. And when we got into this business, our program directors always said, you know, be local, be local. Let people know you're in the market. Be local. She is the best I've ever heard,
and I wish
I was more like her.
Well, thanks.
And she's made me better at that.
Don't you want somebody to know that you're here and not sitting in a room in Washington State somewhere?
Talk.
Huh?
Talk. T-O-K? Alaska?
Oh, yeah. That's a good example. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things that you talked about today? Let me see if my prep was on point. Today was a slow day. Yesterday wasn't so much. Today was the bike thing.
I talked about, what did I talk about?
Oh, did that kick off
without
today?
Without my shirt being in front of me.
I have talked about it.
Yeah, let's talk about the bike thing for a minute, because I was going to sign up for it because I love to ride my bike. But then I read this and I went, I don't know if I want to sign up for that or not. Like, you are responsible for that bike. And they say that it basically has a computer built into the back of it. So if it's lost or stolen or damaged, the potential replacement cost, $1,500.
Haven't you rented a car before? Same deal. Why don't you tell that radio story about your car you got to drive for Yark?
Did you wreck it? You wrecked a car?
So you know how they have.
There's one.
How did we miss I was just saying, I didn't want to have to buy a $1,500 bike, that's all. Because I would leave it unlocked somewhere, and some goober would come along and steal it, and then I would see a $1,500 charge on my credit card.
It's not, okay. It's not like the pieces of junk at Cedar, not Cedar Point.
Mommy Bay has bikes that you can rent, but I don't know if they're...
What the hell? The island? Why am I losing...
Putin Bay.
Yeah, it's not like those bikes. We just leave them places.
No.
And there's
these
a certain
nice.
Way that you have to lock it into certain stations, and then you have to pause it if you're going to go someplace. So
like
I didn't sign up
work.
For it because I went... Okay. So...
You wrecked a car that you were borrowing from a dealer.
I think it was an endorsement, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know how they say drive the car and tell everybody on the air about it.
Let me explain this. So there are times there are advertisers, big advertisers that want us to talk about things, and then they give you those things, and sometimes those things are cars.
Just to use. They're not giving you a car, but they're saying drive it for a few weeks, and then that way when you do their commercials, then you can talk about how fantastic this car is. And it was, well, why not just put it all out there? It was YARC Nissan, and they gave me an Altima because that's what they were promoting at the time. And so the first car, the sales guy comes out and he says, I gave you a car that is loaded. I mean, like every bell and whistle is on that car and I loved it. And so I drove it for, I don't know, a couple weeks. And then they called and said, somebody somewhere wants that car. They want to buy it.
Okay.
So bring it back out and we'll swap it out with another one. Okay? So it's not the biggest service bay. And they were really busy. And they said, are you okay just pulling the replacement car out? It's over in the service bay. And I said, yeah, no problem. Except they have like those little poles. Like they have at ATMs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're kind of short. So when you're backing out, you can't... Yeah, let me tell you. How fast was I going? 2 miles an hour? I did a number on that car. And then the salesperson here at the radio station, like I didn't already feel bad enough about it. He said, do you have any idea how much damage you did to that car? But nobody needs to hear that. So I'm in the parking lot of YARC Nissan because somebody has to come and pick me up. One of the sales guy walks out and looks at the back of the car and goes, okay, I'm so upset. I'm in the parking lot of YARC and I start bawling because I just really screwed up this pretty car. And so then I guess he was the sales manager, came out because I'm standing by a light pole weeping in their parking lot, and he's so uncomfortable and he's so awkward that he just kind of like pets my arm and says, it's okay. At least you told us about it. Some of the porters that drive the cars back and forth do a lot worse than that, and they don't even tell us. Yeah, so that was it. And then they came back to me at some point later on and said, do you want to do... No.
But it was covered under insurance, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure they had... I mean, it was a brand new car.
How much was it? Did they say how much it was? How much damage you did?
I think it was a couple thousand.
Wow, that's easy to do anymore.
I mean, we always overlook the definition of the word accident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you weren't being reckless.
No. And sometimes we overlook those little poles that I mean, make that sucker taller so you can see it when you're looking out the rear view window.
Mookie, isn't there a story? I heard this when I was at Tower, and it might have been at Kiss at the time. Didn't somebody leave the Marty up?
Was that Harvey?
Oh, that's... I have several people. I know several people who have done that.
And went into an electrical wire and ripped it off like a tin can.
And I think if this is the same guy that he tried to fix it, he got electrocuted. He lost a thumb or a finger.
There was an electrocution. So there's these like antennas on top of some of these radio station vehicles that some places still have. And they go up and down. And if you leave it up, you can still drive with some of these vehicles. And somebody left it up and made contact with an electrical wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know Harvey Steele.
Was it a drive-thru or something, and he sheared it off?
I think, let me see the people I do. Tom Riggs from iHeart. I know Harvey has done it. I know, was it D. Halo, who used to work for Tower?
Oh, I remember that name.
She did it. That's a list I can think of now. We used to have a helmet at, it was Clear Channel then, that whoever did it, it was a helmet with the little Marty coming out of the top of it, and they had to wear it for a week after
and
they
did
it.
And then they changed the vehicles here to where you couldn't take it out of park if it was still up. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I don't know how you could forget something 30 feet up in the air.
I've left speakers on the vehicles before and driven with the speakers and their and people are honking as you're driving off and you're going
radio station, what's going on,
and then all I can think of is when I tried to take the speaker out of the van when I got back and it's just a wire with nothing at the end of it. I'm thinking the people with the speaker coming tumbling towards them as they're driving down Central Avenue and they're honking as the speakers are about ready to hit them.
Should be on America's Funniest Home Videos.
That makes some money, I think.
Yeah. What do you do on your show, Mookie?
I'm pretty much with K100. We're more of a community station, and I like that. It was really different for me for a little while, going from pop music to country music.
Right.
But I never had a lot of people say I just can't listen to country music. It's country music anymore. It's kind of like
it's pop,
the new pop.
It's pop with no black people.
That's exactly, and it is.
I don't think you can say that on the air tomorrow.
No,
he can't. I can.
But it's really good. There's some of it that's really good. I really like it. But I kind of do the same thing. I try to stay local, but I like to do more of just kind of like telling stories about like today's national. What is it? Global Cat Day. Talked about that a little bit. Talked about today. The thing yesterday about dressing your pet up for Halloween, and the national average is 20% of us do that, dress our pet up for Halloween. And so I did a poll on Facebook yesterday to see if around here it's the same thing. Came out exactly the same, 20%. So
last question as I wrap up with you guys. So speaking of a local story, I think I was far more invested in this than most people. Did you guys talk about the toe sucker?
I did not.
No.
You remember this? Because it got
Fergie was a toe sucker. That's not who you're talking about.
No.
Which Fergie?
Fergie, the former princess.
Oh, not the Black Eyed Peas girl. The
okay, what? Tell
this
us.
Was the dude that I think first came to prominence a couple years ago at the mall, and he would go up to women and say, "I really like your shoes," and then kind of work his way in, and then suck on their toes. And I don't think that they could keep him for that one, but last spring of 2017, they got him at the Meijer in BG, and his case was finally adjudicated. I think he got 60 days in jail, a lot of probation and community service. He has to take, he's not on the sex offender registry, but he has to get some kind of sex offender education, and he's got to get mental health evaluation.
Because he's a toe sucker.
He is a toe sucker.
You have his phone number?
Wait a minute. This is really
Joseph Jones. Look up this. I was far more invested in this than most people like.
Right.
He went up to people in the mall at random and said, I like your shoes.
He didn't have a job there, like in a shoe store or anything?
Nope.
He should have.
And what are these women doing? They're just letting...
Well, I think it's initially like, wow, you like having your shoes complimented. But then it gets uncomfortable, and then you feel like you could be assaulted, so you just kind of freeze as opposed to running away. Plus, he might also have your shoes, so it could be hard to run away. But it is a very bizarre story.
Wouldn't you, Becky... Wouldn't you kick him?
She likes
something?
Her toe sucks. She's like, what's this guy's number?
What? If that was you and he said you had nice shoes and he came and sat next to you and started to fondle your foot and take your shoe off, what? I just can't imagine just sitting there and just...
The public aspect of this, like it's happening in the mall and that nobody walked by and went, what
weird.
Is happening?
Not only...
It's not like somebody that followed you in the parking lot and scared the crap out of you and did it,
He went out with a compliment first.
Yeah, but still, it's a very public place.
I keep an eye on stories like this because my audience seems to like them a lot.
I don't know if I could compliment somebody and end up sucking in a random 10 minutes, end up sucking their toes.
Because I don't know who may be listening at any point in time. I don't know. Had I known that at the time, would I have talked about that on the air?
Gutsy.
I don't know. Maybe not. I'd like to find the things that I know people are going to be talking about at some point during the day, and I'm sure they were talking about the toe sucker.
And also, grab me because clearly there's a mental health issue there.
Right.
And, I don't know if toes... I mean, as long as you have consent, go at it. I mean, what you like is what you like.
But do you want to see that in the mall?
Consenting, though? They were all consenting.
Well, they were consenting.
Not. But how do you or if you're not consenting... How does he get to that point? How does he get to
they're frozen. They're frozen. Wow.
I don't think anybody's feet are attractive. And right. I said right. that once, and I got an email from somebody who just went off about how feet were created by God, and I wasn't being respectful of, no, I don't want to be part of that.
Hmm. Mookie from K100, Becky from WRQN. Thanks, guys. We'll do this again.
And My pleasure.
I am going to whip out the rated game next time.
Do it. Okay.
And it's going to be like freaking Pollyanna, unicorns, and Santa Claus in here with you, right?
Nice.
Oh, that's just the greatest.
You're the
oh,
best,
that's
Eric. So great. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, part two. You get an extra long podcast tonight. It's like I'm doing a radio show again. It is still the same date as it was earlier in this very long episode. It's still Eric. Let me welcome in a familiar voice, and I'm glad to have her back, Dr. Andrea Mata from the University of Findlay and the Behavioral
Sciences
Department. And super-duper pregnant.
Super-duper pregnant.
How far along are you?
33 weeks today.
How many months is that?
That's 8 months.
So you're almost there?
I'm almost there. So I got 7 more weeks. Probably 5 to 7 more weeks, I would say.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
What are you going to name her?
I'm not telling anyone.
Why not?
Because we don't tell names. We didn't do it with Connor and Charlotte, so we're not doing it now.
Did you do a gender reveal party, or are you too old for that?
No. We did not do a gender reveal. They're just, I mean, we could. Like, there's lots of people my age that are doing them, but so I don't think I'm too old. It's just like, it's not that big of a deal. We don't even put the kids on social media.
Right.
So, like, why would we do a gender reveal
right.
kind of party?
What do the twins think of being big siblings?
People keep asking us that, and it's like they have no they're not even 2 yet.
Sure they do.
They don't know. They just know that, like, my belly is, like, massive, and they can't get comfortable, like, when I'm trying to read them a story.
They don't know that there's going to be another child coming out of you?
No.
Not. I think that's BS.
They have no... What 22-month-old is going to be like, oh, mama's belly's big, so, oh, I must be getting another, you know, sister. No.
What, did you tell them?
Yeah, we tell
or
them.
Or do they just think you're eating a lot and gaining weight?
No. They have no understanding. It's too abstract for them.
Sorry. It's life. What's abstract about that?
They don't understand.
You don't have to explain, like, the sperm and the egg and all that. It's... Oh, never mind.
They don't understand.
So, in 7 weeks,
mm-hmm.
when there's an addition in the house...
Yes, they will obviously then understand.
Right? I think you could explain that now, but whatever. We've been through that.
Well, yeah, we tell them that they're going to have another sister.
Okay.
And we use her name.
And what name do you use?
We usually say Baby Hubble.
What do they say to that? They just go, huh?
They just pat my belly and move
okay.
on.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it'll be something more tangible when it's actually there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you think they will take it then?
I think Charlotte will be, because she's very, very nurturing, she'll probably take it much better than Connor, who likes his mommy time.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think
Good luck.
Charlotte will be much more understanding. And then Connor will be like, get off the lap.
Three kids under 2 years old or under 3 years old.
3 kids, 2 and under. It's going to be joyful.
I hope you are ready to buy some hair dye and Jim doesn't. Well,
that's why we have my, that's why I still go to my stylist.
Wow. It's good to see you. You look good.
Thank you.
Why did I have you? Oh, by the way.
Yes.
I think I gave myself a concussion today.
So if what did you do?
If I walked into a tree.
How did you walk into a tree?
The sun glare and bang. So
have a hat on.
I know. It hit the right spot.
Were you texting?
No.
You were just texting.
Nope.
Were you on Twitter?
Nope.
Instagram?
Nope. Nothing.
So you just ran into a tree?
Yep.
And the hat didn't save you?
Nope.
It was a branch or was it like the trunk?
It was like a thick branch coming. I don't know how I missed it. Like once I gathered myself and I got up and I looked at it, I was like...
Well, you fell completely over?
Yeah. So I'm going to my chiropractor tomorrow. Are my pupils dilated?
No.
Okay.
You're good.
I've done this before when I slammed my forehead onto the frame of my car door. So I got to go. I'm going to have to get my neck fixed and whatever, it happens.
See, I laugh at your pain.
And meanwhile, I could die tonight, right? I think you have to check on people when they get a concussion at night.
Well, I'm sure Diddy and Andre will be there for
if
you.
If I die, I die. Just don't tell people I killed myself. I can't have that because I'm working on this epic Toledo thing.
Yeah.
And one of the lines I'm going in there is, I can't ever kill myself because too many people count on me for stuff like this. And I don't want to be the hypocrite.
Right. Well, the funny thing is, so like Bill came to University of Findlay like 2 weeks ago.
Bill is a friend of ours from NAMI. And like I spoke to your kids last year, Bill did it this year.
Mm-hmm. And so we took him out to lunch with some of our students.
Mexican place. I already got this story.
Yep. And did he tell you? Because I was telling Bill about like something that had happened to you recently, and that Philip and I were the only two people who laughed when you told us the story. Everyone else.
Oh, he didn't know that story? Oh, jeez. What did he say?
So when I told him that I had laughed, and he looks at my four students and he goes, and this is how we know that Dr. Mata is not a practicing clinical psychologist, because she has less empathy. And Bill, I was like, I have tons of empathy.
You compartmentalize like me.
This is just hilarious. Right. And I told the students and they all laughed too.
Well, because they don't know me.
Right.
Like I said, my close friend, like Demetrius and Ashley, they're like, that's awful. Why would somebody do that? You and Philip lose your shit.
Well, because it's funny.
It's funny to you.
Well, come on. Looking back now, you don't think it's funny?
I thought it was funnier in the moment because I think that was a defense mechanism. I don't think it's any funnier now.
I think it's hilarious.
And did you say to me over text, as I move, I'm going to find more?
Yes.
You're so right. You're so right.
Are you finding more?
Yeah. No, I haven't done anything yet, but I am... I'm kind of ready to recoil when I do.
Now, in my defense, I did offer, when you did tell me, I did offer to come over and help take care of the issue.
Everybody did, but I had to use the adrenaline and remove them at that moment, as opposed to, like, there's a skunk in there, there's a bat in the house and I need help.
Right. Yeah.
It does kind of, you know, I like to talk about, like, flooding a lot as a coping mechanism. Right. It does kind of go into that a little bit, but I didn't really overcome the fear. It's one fear I'm okay having.
Well, speaking of flooding, so we just covered exposure therapy and all the different versions of exposure therapy in clinical psych last week, and it turns out one of my students has a phobia of pregnant bellies.
I believe it. So
I told...
Did you just stand next to her for 3 hours?
No. Because I have empathy. And so when I actually usually stand up, I have now, ever since she told me, I sit down for her so that she's not as uncomfortable about it.
That is... That's a weird one like mine.
It is a weird one. Yeah. And so then I told two of my colleagues, one's a clinical psychologist, one's an experimental psychologist. And the experimental psychologist was like, did you rub your belly all over her? And I was like, no, that would be traumatizing.
That's some kind of assault.
Exactly. I'm not going to get, I can't get assault charges against me. That would be terrible.
No, that would be very bad.
That would be terrible.
And you know what? When she goes and says, I was assaulted by my professor, and she explains how, I would laugh at how.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you
Screw
go.
Screw your empathy. Bill also told me, and we'll get into why Andre is here in a minute. It was funny. I was like, did they take you to the Mexican restaurant? That's your thing. And he also said the students weren't very engaged.
Really?
Yeah. He said a couple like professors hopped in with questions, but I was like, yeah, I got that too.
Oh, not at the dinner, but the engagement of the students during this. Yeah. It wasn't that good of a turnout. I was expecting more.
He said about 60 people?
Yeah, 50, 60 people. So I was expecting a little bit more. I was a little shocked.
Having been around to so many places now, I've seen like the kids when they get into their teens and like early 20s, like that's the sweet spot of them being disengaged.
Yeah. And then I was talking to some of the faculty members that were there, and they said that at times they were sitting in the far, far back of the room, and they said that it was difficult to understand him occasionally because of his
Scottish accent. Did we need subtitles? They're too used to subtitles on Netflix.
Exactly.
Bill didn't come with subtitles.
No, he didn't.
But I know he enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad. We loved having him.
You're here to talk about a couple of current issues, and we're through half semester already.
Yep.
And you've been doing a really cool class, which we'll get to. But we'll start with Selena Gomez. She is back in some kind of rehab at last I checked. And this is a real quiet story that happened to It was a news dump because it happened Friday. Did you know the story?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I
not until you sent it to me.
Okay. It was very quiet. So it was like a Friday afternoon news dump. She was hospitalized back in rehab, had some kind of mental breakdown. And I guess the few reasons were because of she's had some complications from her lupus, mm-hmm. which she can't seem to beat. And I believe she's been hospitalized twice with that. And apparently, Justin Bieber marrying Hailey Baldwin, whether or not that's accurate or not, set her sideways.
Well, she's also been having issues with her kidney transplant, it said in the article.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot going on. And she had some kind of breakdown. We're losing them like left and right. There's Demi Lovato. There's Selena Gomez.
It's the age.
Yeah, yeah. So she is now getting dialectical behavioral therapy. And I'm sure we had talked about it before, but I figured we'd dive deeper into it now because this story, even though it was news dumped on a Friday, we should talk about it and explain a little bit what it is. And I wanted to pick your brain a little bit because the last time, I think I texted you, I was like, give me some books to read.
Right.
And a couple of books I came across, I might have picked the wrong books or the wrong articles.
Did you choose the Linehan book?
I forget what they were, but it was a lot of like talking about acceptance. And I know that's a big part of it, but there were also like some religious ties.
Did you get books on acceptance commitment therapy instead of dialectical behavioral therapy?
It was definitely DBT stuff, but it turned me off for a minute. But after this Selena stuff, I read back into it and it said mindfulness and managing these negative emotions. And it was more about stuff that we've had discussions before. Like when I've asked you about like, how do you get these like 20-year-old NBA athletes to manage like all that's going around with them as they continue to mature? So right. DBT, what is it? Why does it work? Why is it? Is it like the next evolution of CBT?
Okay. So dialectical behavioral therapy is what is kind of considered like an on-the-edge therapy approach, like theoretical orientation. It stems not from cognitive behavioral therapy, but it stems from behavioral therapy. So it's very behaviorally based. And so it's the most empirically supported treatment for people with borderline personality disorder. And so dialectical behavioral therapy was created by Marsha Linehan, who actually has borderline personality disorder. And so from her, you know, introspection and her...
I did watch her. I watched, she gave a presentation. Mm-hmm. That's what I was watching. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And so was that informative?
I actually fell asleep during it, but there was a lot of acceptance, and I feel like there was it felt like religious mumbo jumbo, so it kind of turned me off.
Right, and so not a lot of people are trained in dialectical behavioral therapy. In my undergrad, I was made aware of it. I gave a presentation on it when I was in my graduate program, but then I would use it. I had some access to it when I was on externship. Because I had colleagues who would work at the partial hospitalization program for teenagers that were kind of showing symptoms of borderline personality disorder or who were suicidal. And so I had access to those kind of materials. And then I recently, I think a year or two ago, took a training, two different trainings on dialectical behavioral therapy for continued education. So there's two components to it. There's the group component to it, and then there's the individual component to it. People are more familiar with like the group component of dialectical behavioral therapy, and that there's four modules. So there's the mindfulness piece, there's the distress tolerance piece, there's emotion regulation, and then there's interpersonal effectiveness. And so they're all coping skills. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very, like I said before, a very behavioral based treatment modality. And so they focus mostly on getting people those coping skills. That when you texted me and I read the piece on Selena Gomez, I was like, dialectical behavioral therapy is great. Everyone, like, it should be universally kind of... everyone should be exposed to these kind of coping
skills. At least in like an elemental way. Like, I mean, it's a Pandora's box, but like this stuff should be taught in schools in some way. Like we do in very like elemental, in like health classes, like in the same way there's sex ed.
Right.
We should offer these ideas mm-hmm. in some way because it's human behavior. And at the core of so many of our problems are our ability to manage ourselves and then communicate and message things.
Right. And I mean, I struggle with that because, like, I remember sitting in, when I went to a conference this past April, I was sitting in this conference presentation about, what was it, social emotional skills in the classroom or in the school. And I was sitting there and I found myself like, whose responsibility is it to teach social emotional skills?
Parents?
Is it parents? Is it schools? Like, to me, but I also have a very biased opinion, it's parents' responsibility, family's responsibility to teach, you know, our kids these skills. But I also know all of them. So obviously Jim and I are to integrate those skills into just raising Connor, Charlotte, and baby Hubble. Whereas, like, other parents don't have these skills. They don't
right.
have this knowledge.
And politically speaking, like, the family system is a lot different. It's evolved a lot, and there's a lot of burdens on single-parent households. And if that's the case, parents that don't get along and have a hard time co-parenting. That's why I use the example of, like, sex ed. Yeah, your parents should talk to you about it, but it's nice to get that support at school as well.
Right. And how good of a quality is our sex ed program?
Well, then there's...
That's a whole nother can of worms.
All I know is, like it's probably more helpful than, like, accounting and stuff.
Budgeting is super huge.
I know, but, like, there, you can also just call H&R Block and stuff. But, like, maybe a little bit less gym or other stuff, but the school is just a mess. Can we go through an example of, mm-hmm. of the DBT stuff?
Yeah.
So it's helpful for borderline, mm-hmm. and that's, like, rapid bipolar, where somebody's always vacillating between moods.
Yeah, so it's more so what people think of as bipolar disorder, it's usually borderline personality disorder, because they do have, like, they can have the love and the hate. So one minute they love you and the next minute they hate you.
Right.
Whereas borderline, we're talking about they're having episodes. Individuals with borderline personality disorder, they're having, you know, mood shifts within a short amount of time.
Right.
And so a lot of the time borderline personality disorder is misdiagnosed mm-hmm. as bipolar disorder.
Because they might happen to be in that particular episode at the moment, so it gets diagnosed that way.
People just don't understand.
Well, then there's that. Oh, there's another rabbit hole. Like, how bad the mental health care system is.
Hey.
All right, so I am... I have some borderline personality symptoms. Example, I come to you and I've been capricious and mercurial, and I need help managing these emotions, because, as you've told me before, medication doesn't really work for borderline if that's the accurate diagnosis. Mm-hmm. What will DBT, how will I go through it?
Okay, so then we would usually do one of the modules, or you do all of the modules.
Mindfulness.
So mindfulness is when you try to get the person to live in the current moment and not to avoid anxiety and uncomfortable feelings. So much of what we see now is people just don't want to process, don't want to think about any kind of, or deal with any negative emotions. So boredom, anxiety, depression. And so we avoid it. We engage in experiential avoidance in any way that we possibly can.
Or drinking.
Marijuana, harder drugs, which you should never do, in my opinion. But hey, that's another rabbit hole. And so mindfulness is when we teach them to live in the current moment, and to become aware of what their body is doing and what they're currently feeling, and to be much more of an objective, become much more objective of what your body's experiencing.
For,
so less entangled.
For this being a newer type of therapy, this component of it is thousands of years old. This is straight Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of reading of that, and I like a lot of the principles, and I don't think I'm great at mindfulness. I suck at meditating, mm-hmm. but I think one of the big takeaways I got from Buddhist principles are you can't live a life without stress. Like, shit's going to happen, and you're just going to have to deal with it, because that's life. So it's embracing things are going to go wrong.
Things are going to go wrong, and that it's by you becoming much more objective, it's just you realize that things are going to go wrong, And that's okay. And then you'd use some of the other skills, some of the other modules to help you kind of process and figure out what are you going to do.
And there's unlimited amount of reading. I mean, I have some good suggestions for the mindfulness part. I'm not great at it, but it's the easy part to grasp. What are the other three?
The other three, so then we have the emotion regulation is kind of how our emotions work. And so how I kind of explain it is that people think that when something really, usually negative, when something really negative happens to us, we have a surge of negative emotions. Mm-hmm. And they think that those emotions are going to kind of continue to escalate and escalate and escalate and escalate.
Yeah.
And what we notice that if you just sit back and experience those emotions, that yes, they will, your negative emotions will increase for a period of time, and then they will level out, and then they'll just naturally come down. Yeah. And it's not very long. I would say probably within 10 to 20 minutes, if you just don't do anything detrimental to your relationships, or you don't do anything detrimental to yourself, that's, you just realize that, okay, this is where the mindfulness piece comes in. I'm mindful that my emotions are escalating, escalating, escalating. I just need to ride out the wave and let the emotions naturally come down.
Because that is your, while the mind is extremely powerful and creates all kinds of anxiety, there are defense mechanisms in our brains to do what you just said.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I need the medication like my Cymbalta to allow me to think through this. Mm-hmm. Like today when I walked into the branch, I was like, shit, my neck might be broken. I might black out. But then I'm like, hold on a second. You know, chill out, relax. And 20 minutes later, I had a headache. My neck hurts. I'll go to the chiropractor tomorrow, and I'm probably not going to die.
Exactly.
So it's like that roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, like, because we know this stuff. Because right. I've read up on this stuff. And do people accept this stuff?
They do. When they go through DBT, I think they get it, and because it's so behavioral and it's so hands on, and you do activities with them and those kind of things, I think they get it. It's just harder to put it into practice.
It is, and it's things you have to do every day.
Not every day, but things that you would probably have to do on a regular basis at the beginning so that you get used to it, get accustomed to it, and then you can kind of weave off of it.
You create a habit.
Exactly.
You, like, did our buddy Johan Hari say this? You can do microsurgery on your neurons by practicing these things. A friend of mine, she had 4 exams. She called me, said, I almost went to the ER last. I'm like, whoa. One way, you call me, what's going on? She said, I have 4 exams this week, and I've been studying 10 hours a day for the last 3 days. I'm like, sounds like you got it covered. She thought she was having a panic or an anxiety attack. And she didn't go, and she calmed down. Mm-hmm. And I asked her I said, one of two things is going to happen. You're completely prepared, and you're going to be totally fine, or your study habits suck and you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
It's reality.
Right.
But that anxiety takes over. It's like you lose it. But if you train your mind, as you're talking about, it never gets that far away from you.
Correct. Because the other thing is with panic attacks, we know that the majority of panic attacks or anxiety attacks, whatever term you want to use, they usually will escalate for about 10 minutes, but then the symptoms will peak within 10 minutes and then come down.
Yeah.
Now, there are people that are going to have longer enduring panic attacks, but for the most part, it's that escalation for 10 to 20 minutes, and then you're gonna see a decrease in your symptoms.
And if you do these coping skills and strategies, then you can't live without anxiety, but instead of going to 9, maybe it only goes to 6 and doesn't last as long.
Exactly.
What are the other two?
So then with the emotion regulation, it's you, because we're trying to figure out, we're trying to give people ways to not do stupid shit, is usually the term I say, within, you know, when we're experiencing emotions, when we're experiencing those intense emotions, to not do stupid shit, then you engage in what's known as distress tolerance. And so when your body's in crisis, what are some healthy things that you can do to ride out that wave?
So, like, let's say I get a troubling email from a boss, or I find out my significant other cheated on me.
You can go for a walk. You can go for a run. You can work out. You can rep, and it has a lot to do with like our senses. So you can find, you know, clothes that kind of just comfort you, like a baggy pair of sweatpants or a sweatshirt or a sweater. Wrap yourself in that. You may eat some ice cream or eat some food that, because, you know, hopefully you're not having these distress tolerance moments every single day. And so if you eat, you know, comfort food in that moment in time, well, that's better than cutting yourself.
Absolutely. Unless you have skipped over the first two things we've talked about, and you have these episodes anytime any small thing comes up, and you have more ice cream than water.
Right. And so anything that's going to kind of distraction, so you can watch a Netflix series or something. Again, like, these are not things that we want to continually avoid, but we want you to kind of ride it out in a mindful way that you're making these choices, so that it's not, you're not allowing your emotions to control you. You are allowing, you are essentially allowing, you're making that choice. Like, I need to ride out this wave, so let me have a bowl of ice cream instead. And so you're activating what's known as wise mind, which we teach in the mindfulness piece, instead of living an emotional mind or logical mind.
When I, that the day that I painted my my living room wall orange, I woke up that morning, and I don't know why, but I was like, I was angry. Like, if there was ever a day that I was going to kill somebody, it would have been that day, and I don't know why. Like, I snapped at the girl at Vitamin Shop. But when I can't remember ever feeling that kind of like fury before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Does it have to do with the color of the room?
No. Because it was that day I went home. Like, I went to the gym. I was angry. Went to the vitamin shop. I snapped at the girl. I'm like, look, can't do small talk anymore. We got to know. Mm-hmm. I go home and I start painting. And it wasn't the monotony of painting. It was not wanting to fall off the ladder. But it took all that anger away.
Exactly.
Something that I don't normally do, but something else that I had to focus on so I didn't die. Like, it sapped me of that anger.
You took care of your distress tolerance.
Without even thinking I would.
Mm-hmm.
What's the fourth? Interpersonal?
Interpersonal effectiveness. So, okay. Teaching people how to relate to others, be more assertive, getting you what you need in a more appropriate way. And so there's maybe what's called like dear man, where someone does something to you that you have a negative reaction. And so you take the steps of like the dear man. And so you like articulate, hey, you did that. Like, when you did this, I felt this. In the future, when this comes up, I would prefer that you do this.
That's tough for a lot of people. Yeah, swallowing your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard because we all shoot from the hip now.
Well, it's not even swallowing your tongue. It's just knowing how to get what you need appropriately.
Can we do an example?
So tell me about a time that someone did something that kind of made you upset.
I'm good at this.
Okay.
Give an example that you would use in class or that's effective. It's like road rage. That always seems to be a good go-to. I just got cut off.
You just got cut off. Well, you have to, with interpersonal effectiveness, it has to be more along the lines, like road rage, we would do emotion regulation because you're pissed. Don't flip them off. Don't cut them off. Just let it ride out because your emotions are naturally going to go down. With the interpersonal effectiveness, it's more along the lines of someone that you have a relationship with.
Okay.
So let's say your significant other. I don't know.
They ate your leftovers.
They ate your leftovers.
And you had a long day and you just wanted to come home and eat that cold pizza, but now it's gone.
Perfect. So then all you would do is you
would... Jim!
No, I usually let him have the pizza. He prefers pizza over him. I do. So you would go up to your significant other and you would say, hey, I get really frustrated when you eat, you know, the leftovers that, you know, I really enjoy, like they're my favorite food. In the future, I would prefer you to ask me whether or not you can have them instead of just assuming that because they're in our refrigerator, you can eat them.
This is really hard for people because we probably fall into the trap of we think we know our significant other or we know our friends, and there's some inaccurate mind reading that goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've got to communicate with people. There's a great quote somewhere. I might have it saved somewhere, but it's something along the lines of like, marry or be in a relationship or being in a relationship means that both people need to be able to hear no from one another or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can't because of all the stuff we're talking about. This is probably going to be the most helpful podcast ever. And if you do it, it works.
It does work. Absolutely. Because then the person actually hears you and you've actually had a conversation about it instead of just flying off the handle or assuming, you know, engaging in fundamental attribution bias that person's just a jackass instead of that person just really wanted pizza.
Yeah.
Like, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like maybe they had a bad day too.
Right.
So it's the reframing piece that we've talked about before.
Yeah. And I like that to go back to the car point. And I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I guess I don't know how you teach sympathy except for maybe reframing. And I forget where I picked it up, and it helped. It was the catalyst for me. You just get cut off, or somebody runs past the light, whatever. And then, you know, the instant reaction is, that motherfucker, blah, blah, blah. And then this book taught me to go, well, wait a second. You don't know that, like, maybe that person has a sick relative they're trying to get to at a hospital. Maybe, like all of us, they have to get to the bathroom really quickly. And you learn a little bit of sympathy. And instead of looking at that person as a villain, you have some sympathy for them because you've reframed it.
Right. You give them usually when I talk to teenagers and my students, I talk about, like, you give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
There's almost always an alternative explanation for things. A few weeks ago, one of my colleagues, like, sent him a text message, and then he sent me a text message back. And he was like this, and I like provided an explanation, and he was like, you always take the student's side. And I was like, no, there's always just an alternative explanation for things. And like, I think that's one of the reasons that makes me who I am professionally is that I'm able to like step back and be like, okay, yes, I'm emotional right now, but here's that mindfulness piece come in. Like, yes, I'm emotional right now, but is there an alternative explanation for why they did what they did?
This has to be the hardest thing because we were bad enough as it was as human beings because we react. And now with social media at our fingertips, it's made it that much worse because most people don't reflect before they hit send. It's too easy to just react.
And that's where dialectical behavioral therapy comes in.
Yeah.
Because it's that idea. Oh, right, I just said it. It's when you are emotional, don't do something that's going to be detrimental, that you didn't think through, that you weren't mindful that you were doing. It wasn't a choice. You let your emotions get the best of you. And so you react instead of sitting back and being like, I shouldn't tweet that out, or I shouldn't respond.
You remember one of Barry's great wisdoms, right? Don't ever make decisions when you're angry or having sex.
There you go.
When you're emotional.
Absolutely.
But it's one thing to, like, stop yourself. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to consider the plethora of other possibilities, mm-hmm. which will probably refute your anger or anxiety.
Right.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the time we automatically assume that there's characteristic flaws in people. Like when they do something to us, it's because they're an asshole or they're, you know, a bitch or something like that. But maybe they're just having a bad day.
Yeah. I think I had this briefly, this Facebook conversation, and people hate that. Like, mm-hmm. you can't do this on Facebook, and I have to stop myself from being the logical one. Something about some lady. She was complaining that some woman in line lost her shit on some poor Chick-fil-A employee. And she was like, what a rude bitch, blah, blah. She's the worst. I'm like, maybe that lady just had like a grandmother die. Mm-hmm. Maybe she just lost her job. It doesn't make her a bad person. Was her behavior wrong? Probably. Do I feel bad for the fast food employee? Absolutely. But there are a million other circumstances that could have made that lady so irate other than she's just an awful human being. And right. nobody thinks like that. Me and you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I had one of my students recently, they had to write a paper that assessed their strengths and their weaknesses interpersonally, and then also their strengths and their weaknesses at living a high quality life. And this was one of the examples that she gave. And she wants to be like a child psychologist. She doesn't know if she wants to be a clinical child psychologist or experimental child psychologist. But she gave this as an example that like she like this woman was like berating her because she works at a pizzeria, and they forgot her marinara sauce, and this woman was like berating her, and she got angry at the woman because the woman was berating her. And so my response to her was like, what happens if that woman, I'm like, here's one thing, you need to step back and not get angry at her. I'm like, was her behavior correct? No, absolutely not. But what happens if she has a child who has autism at home, and the only thing he eats on Friday nights is breadsticks with marinara sauce, and if there's not marinara sauce, he doesn't eat at all. So now you have the super stressed out mom, or you know, dad who has this, you know, child who won't eat because you guys forgot something as simple as a cup of marinara. And she's like, oh. Yeah. And I'm like, that's where the skill you need to get at to be a good, in my opinion.
It's hard. It is. That's the thing I refer to about like things you have to do every single day. And it's a lot easier to teach yourself than like getting into the habit of going to the gym or whatever physical habit you want to do. Because for that, you have to like go and do something and be somewhere. This is like all in between your ears. Like how many thoughts do we have in our head during the course of a day?
I've read some ridiculous statistic in my head, and I think that's way too many. But I want to say that it's probably somewhere in like between 800 and 1,000 a day.
You have that many opportunities to, like I've been thinking this way a lot lately, be a cynic of your own cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself why. Just be a cynic to your thoughts before you fly off the handle. And do you really want to die on the marinara hill?
Right. Right. And so, like, when her and I had that conversation, she was like, oh. So, like, because here's the thing. I'm like, if you can't do this with kids or teenagers, you're not going to be an effective therapist.
Yeah.
Because this is all I did when I was at Boys Town with the most antisocial and aggressive youth in the nation was, like, talk about like giving people the benefit of the doubt, looking for alternative explanations for behavior, those kind of things.
Speaking of benefit of the doubt,
mm-hmm.
I am now certain that I am far more invested than most people on the notorious toe sucker, which probably you know about well because they finally nabbed him at the BG at the Meyer in BG. You know, did you know about the story before?
No, I only heard about it when you and was it Ashley and Demetrius had a podcast this weekend?
Yeah, we talked about it on the old show before when he was going through the mall and doing this.
Yeah.
So he likes to suck on the toes of women, maybe men. I don't know. And it was not consensual. So obviously that's a violation.
Correct.
But I can't ostracize the guy for what he likes. I mean, get consent.
But it would be considered a psychological disorder. Because they fall under paraphilias. And so it's their disorders when you engage in some kind of sexual behavior without the consent of other people.
Okay, the consent thing is obviously a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like weird things that people like,
it's a kink.
Yeah.
But there's lots of websites that he can go to and, you know, get people who would be willing consenting to this behavior.
Absolutely. Go on Craigslist.
Exactly.
They'll give you their phone number and PayPal them or Venmo them $25.
Yeah.
But what kind of mental health thing jumped out at you about this guy?
It's just a paraphilia. So it's kind of like a mix of exhibitionism almost, because it's like it sounds like he may have gotten off like the reaction, maybe, because that's what, you know, part of exhibitionism is like the when people get off by showing their genitalia to unsuspecting victims.
Demetrius, I'll never forget the promo that he did that to his wife. I cringed every time I heard that promo in the air. I'm like, that's got to cross a line with people. But consensual, I mean, once they got married, I suppose.
Exactly.
But I get your point. Like people who expose themselves.
But you had a difficult time, like, in that conversation, because I was listening to it, I think, this weekend sometime, and, like, you had, like, because I think Demetrius said something about weird, and, like, you were like, he's not weird, and it's like, he is weird.
Not what he likes. What he did without consent is illegal.
It is illegal.
But if what you're into, I mean, what was I, I spoke at the Toledo Police Academy a couple of weeks ago. My NAMI friends and I went out there, and they wanted us to talk about someone with a mental health issue that they might encounter. Mm-hmm. And I said some things that I've never shared publicly before, but they thanked me. One sergeant came up and was like crying afterwards because she was able to sympathize and empathize. And I was like, it's okay. She's like, no, leave me alone. I'm here. Like, let's hug. And it got me to thinking.
You don't like to hug.
Yeah, but she was really broken up.
Oh, was
like,
she?
This is a big, strong woman leading this class of cadets, and she was a mess.
Oh, wow.
So I definitely struck a nerve with her, but that's what I aim to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking about, like, criminals. And I wonder, why do people commit crimes? And I wonder how much of it is a mental health thing, and what isn't is money related. I would guess that's the majority of why the motives behind crimes.
You're going down a whole nother rabbit hole.
I know.
Like, because there's so many theories of why people commit crimes.
I know. You want to give me your short version of it, and then we can talk about the fun stuff in your class?
I think for the most part, I would go, but again, I'm a strong behavioralist. Not all behavioralists, but a strong behavioralist. So I would say, like, what is the function of that behavior? So what is the person getting out of it? Some people, so going off of what's known as strain theory, is that they don't have legitimate ways to get what they need, and therefore they're going to act illegitimately, break the law to
toe
get
sucker.
What they need. He maybe doesn't have the social skills to get what he needs. Maybe he doesn't have the knowledge that there's websites dedicated right. to kinks, or there's probably parties in this area, get together social events in this area that would allow him to express that in a consenting way.
Or even worse, he gets off further by the nature of what he does. Mm-hmm. To, like, unsuspecting people. So
that would then lead into a psychological disorder.
Yeah. And so that was my point. Like, it seems people are miswired who commit a lot of crimes.
I don't want people to think that those who have psychological disorders are more prone to commit crimes.
No, not at all.
Because the vast majority of people with mental illness don't commit crimes. Because, I mean, what it's like, 47% of people will have a psychological disorder sometime in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And so if that was the statistic, like, crap, we would have a lot more crime.
We're a lot more dead people.
We're
a lot less
dead
people on the planet.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very vast area of discussion. The general feeling that there are too many people imprisoned with mental health issues, would you agree with that?
I would.
Like, maybe not prison, more mental health, rehabilitation.
Well, like, because then you have that whole, like, thing with the, you know, high percentage of people in prison currently are those that are drug abusers, and so, or, you know, have sold drugs, those kind of things, and so that's a psychological disorder. And
right.
So had we rehabilitated them in a more appropriate way, then, or a more effective way than kind of just throwing them into a prison, then there would be probably less in the prison system.
And people who are in that circumstance, let's be honest, when they're in there, their issue is probably exacerbated when and if they ever get out.
Right, because
so
a lot
you've
of
got
the
recidivism.
Yeah, because a lot of the time people who go into prison, they just come out better criminals because they're surrounded by...
Right.
Really good criminals who just got caught.
Yeah. Well, and then you might say they're not good criminals.
Correct. But
in a Batman world, you'd say they're not good.
However, you don't know how many times they've committed a crime without
right.
being caught, and then they were just
right.
caught by some kind of fluke. You know the podcast Serial.
I do. I haven't listened to it, but I know of it.
This
it's very popular.
The third, I just started listening to it by recommendation of two of my colleagues, and I went through the first two seasons, and then the third season is actually on the criminal justice system in Cleveland. And so it's very, very eye-opening.
One thing in this regard, I just saw a blip the other day. So you're familiar with the Aaron Hernandez situation, right?
No.
Aaron Hernandez was a former NFL player with the Patriots, committed a bunch of crimes, killed people. He's away for life.
Okay.
I mean, he was a stone cold killer. He was a psychopath, mm-hmm. probably the textbook version of it, because the dude was like playing football on Sundays and like in this lifestyle on the other hand. And it was cunning and manipulative and all this. And then just the other day I see a story, and it's going to get buried because it's old news in a sense. But someone says he was molested as a child. So, mm-hmm. I mean, people just don't become sociopaths and psychopaths, right? Something turns them into that.
Well, we don't have a really good understanding about it, because like right now I'm doing a lot of research on like mass shooters, and so a good population or percentage of people who are mass shooters have psychopathic tendencies. But like when we look at the family dynamics of those mass shooters who were psychopaths, at least for school shooters, because that's where I'm at right now, research wise, but they come from like middle class intact families, mm-hmm. that don't have a lot of like negative experiences. So it's like, well, what we usually think about like what creates a psychopath is maybe not necessarily the case.
But there was something there to go back to the DBT stuff, mm-hmm. that had they been able to manage something better, a wrong at school by someone or something or some group wouldn't have broken them to the point where they commit such an act.
Absolutely, because we're seeing like people who are, so there's like Peter Langman is the kind of the leading expert on school shooters, and he's classified school shooters as either psychopaths, psychotic, so they hear voices, they see things, they have hallucinations, delusions, those kind of things, or they're traumatized.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, like the traumatized school shooters are those who were rejected by a girl, because the majority of school shooters are male.
Social group.
Some kind of rejection. And then all of a sudden they just kind of go and commit their crime.
Yeah, it's fascinating in a very perverted way for us. This is why we're going to go see the Joker movie as a class project next year.
Sure.
To watch him turn from what into the greatest psychopathic killer in comic book history.
Absolutely.
And it'll probably be, you know, sensationalized, not what we're talking about, like normal background. But mm-hmm. I'll have to loan you the comic book.
Okay.
Because there is a 60-page comic book. It's called The Killing Joke, written in the 80s. It's kind of like an origin story. Sorry, got a text. And every time I get a text message from that person, I think that we're on the air, and that would be bad. But it's kind of like an origin story for the Joker, like mm-hmm. how he turned into that. So I'd be curious to get your take on it. And
sure.
Like I said, we'll take the class to see Joker next year.
Absolutely.
Speaking of class, yes. Dating in the 21st Century is one of your classes this semester.
Yep.
Mostly conversational with the kids?
It's discussion-based. So they either read from the reader, which is Modern Romance by Aziz Ansari, or I give them a specified article to read, like an empirical article to read for the discussion that day. There's 8 classes throughout the semester where the students, 2 students, will lead the discussion, and then I lead the discussion the rest of the time.
As a happily married, soon to be mother of 3, what have you learned from the class? From kids who are what, 18, 19, 20, 21?
Yeah, they're older, so because in order to get into the class, because it's so popular, they're probably 21, 22 year olds in the class. So I have 16 students in the class. And so probably the number one thing that kind of has blown my mind, and like I think it was the class that like you were actually in, that you were observing, where like we were talking about like when people send inappropriate images to people that they don't really know.
Unsolicited dick pics.
Exactly. Unsolicited dick pics. And like my question was like, why do we continue to engage, like why do we continue to reinforce this behavior? And the students were like, why is it a problem? And like that just like blew my mind that like they didn't perceive it as like,
I thought some of the girls who were speaking up were like, yes, I think that they were annoyed, but they understand it because people do it. And it's wrong. Like, I don't do that. Right. I've sent solicited, not unsolicited. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, to me, it was just like, well, no, like, why don't we, like, tell them, like, this is not appropriate behavior. Like, we should be, in some way, not punishing, like, but, like, essentially not reinforcing this behavior. And the student's response was like, well, some woman's probably eventually going to, you know, answer and respond to this kind of behavior. Yeah. And I'm like, but like with the one, it was like, I think one of my students said that she was on some kind of hookup app. And like the guy, like the first response to her was like, do you do anal? And we were all just like, what?
Yeah.
And it was, and she didn't respond, but like, there's probably someone who did respond to that. And it's like, well, no, like now you're just reinforcing, like that, whoever that responded, you're just reinforcing this inappropriate behavior.
But then we talked about that one person. That person is either one of two kinds of people, I would guess. They're just there for that. And there was like, I'm like, okay, you know, we can do this. They're decently attractive, or they have very poor self-esteem, and there's a lot of issues going on as well, and they like the attention.
Correct.
But it happens, and it's wrong. There's some people that I come across on Instagram. They'll have a different account, and they post all the inappropriate direct messages they get from those people. Now, I wish, if you really wanted to truly ostracize them, leave their names there so you could see who these people are. But it's wrong, and I wish that there were some social media changes where you couldn't send these things like via direct message unless there was a mutual follow.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, you can.
You can just kind of spray it all over the place.
Literally.
Exactly.
So that's what blew you away most, right?
That's probably what blown me away the most in the class. Anything else? That's probably the one that I had like the biggest reaction to. What else?
I gave you a day to think about this, too.
I did. You did give me a day to think. But that was probably the one that's kind of... And I even, like, called, like, one of our alumni who is now, as a graduate student, who's with my mentor at Kent State, who does research on relationships and stuff like that. And she's like, this is crazy. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they... She's like, do you think, like, dick pics are just ubiquitous? And I was like...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. And so the students have to do a research project. And so one of the groups is going to work with her on looking at, are there personality traits of guys, can personality traits differentiate guys who send unsolicited dick pics versus those who don't send unsolicited dick pics. And so they're going to do a research project on that.
Who is?
My students.
Okay, because there's another element to that.
Okay.
Like, you could have one kind of person who you would never look at to send that, but perhaps that person is gifted, and while they can't be that confident person in a social setting, like, when that barrier is there, when that digital barrier is there, they will let it all hang out.
Right. Literally.
So there's some of that involved as well.
Yeah.
I always used to like when we would talk about like when we would like, because a lot of women will say, I don't want to see that. It's ugly. It's people's genitalia is just flat out disgusting looking. It doesn't matter how big or whatever. They're all disgusting. But then, like you mentioned, one woman might respond to one of those. There are other. I mean, we're all turned on and attracted to different things. So
absolutely.
But add that element to that research study.
Okay.
Or better yet.
What?
Go on the internet. Well, I guess, I mean, you could do this. Match up the guy to the penis.
No.
Clothed, unclothed. Yeah.
You can work with them.
No. All right, so we did DBT. We did the toe sucker. We got the 21st century date. Anything else?
I don't think so. Everything else was kind of just what research typically shows.
No, that was it.
Yeah.
All right, 7 weeks?
7 weeks. Well, 5 to 7 weeks.
Everything at home settled?
Yeah, as settled as it's going to be. I mean, we're not going to make any huge changes until the baby comes. And then even that will probably, we won't like transition Connor and Charlotte over to their new room until probably 4 months.
So they'll, are they in a room together now?
Mm-hmm.
They're moving to a bigger room, I guess?
They'll move to out of the nursery, and then they'll move to twin beds instead of cribs.
Ah.
And then they will, so we'll sleep train the baby and Connor and Charlotte into twin beds at the same time. And then after we're done sleep training, then we'll probably do potty training for Connor and Charlotte.
I guess it's... like everything, it depends how you look at it. Like, mm-hmm. it's good that they're not that far removed from being newborn, so it's all fresh,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to having to remember how to do something. But then again, you could be like, we've been doing this for 2.5 years now. I'm done with it. I never want to see another diaper ever again.
They're not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you as always. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say it here on the podcast. When we do the epic thing for on November 9th, I still have to get a date.
Is it November 9th or November 8th?
I think it's...
You told me 8th.
Did I?
Is it Thursday or Friday?
I have the 9th, Friday.
Okay. That's actually better.
I will double check for you, and I'll find out what time of day.
Okay.
I figure I will do my spiel, and you'll follow me up and offer your suggestions. Mm-hmm. I think it would be good to share some of the DBT stuff.
Yeah.
And then if we have time, they said we have 50 minutes.
Okay.
And I think...
To present or with questions and answers?
That's everything.
Okay.
So I've been running through my speech
yeah.
a little bit. And it's like 20 to 30 minutes, depending on flow.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can do what you suggest where people should go to get help.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't feel like they're going to get sued over me.
Right.
And then maybe we can do a brief faux intake like we did in class.
Yeah, absolutely.
To see what people, you know, to give them an idea of like what they're walking into.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Then we'll high five and go get some drinks. Maybe.
No.
You'll still be pregnant?
I will still be pregnant.
Maybe.
I should still be pregnant.
What if I lose you?
What do you... Oh, no. Will not...
Okay, 3 weeks? All right, well, you're going to be uber pregnant.
Yeah.
Don't cause a scene.
No. We don't want, like, in 3 weeks, we don't want the baby to come out. We want to wait till at least 37 weeks.
Yeah. Huh, baby Hubble, do not screw up my presentation.
That would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, I talk to my student all the time that has the phone. Not, I don't talk to her all the time. But I was like, what happens if my water breaks in this class? She's like, I will be traumatized. I'm like, absolutely.
That poor girl.
I don't know. Okay. But she's seeking out services for it. She wants to overcome it.
What was the one thing you asked your students to do strengths and weaknesses?
Mm-hmm. So it's called the Pat Fryman Project, based off of a supervisor at Boys Town. He's a well-renowned clinical psychologist. And so his spiel was that in order to be a good therapist, an effective therapist, like you have to be good at living and you have to be good with being with people. And so I give them the assignment. It's a reflective piece where they have to self-assess how they're good at living a high-quality life and how they're not good at living a high-quality life, and then how they're good with being with people and then not good with being with people.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. It's good that we force self-awareness on,
exactly.
on, you know, 20-somethings.
And they said, like, usually this is the project that gives them the most challenge, just because they have to sit back and like reflect, and they've never done it before. And so like a lot of the time they go and they seek out like their friends and their siblings and say like, how am I good with being with people?
Right.
And then one person actually looked at one of my students this year and was like, isn't this a reflective piece?
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean that you have to do it and not ask me?
Yeah, and exactly.
She's like, oh yeah.
It's tough because, I mean, it's hard enough to look in the mirror at yourself, but when you have to look like within yourself,
mm-hmm.
like I don't know when I had this little enlightenment when I figured out, like I know that I think it's a strength to know my weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
which is patience.
Yeah,
I have very little patience.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I know it and keep myself out of those certain situations, it in a sense becomes a strength.
Right.
I live life pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doctor,
wait, did you say perfect?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I didn't say you were perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Close, but...
I don't know about that.
I'm not flying too close to the sun. Dr. Andrea Amata from the University of Findlay, Behavioral Sciences.
Department of Behavioral Sciences.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating, and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to #subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.